Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Presumably, the hopes and expectations that ensued 11 contests characterized by nail-biting and close calls would have inoculated us from the ignominy of a performance that marked the nadir for Steeler playoff futility. It did not. Welcome to the Steelers Outpost podcast, a proud member of the Armchair All-Americans Network. It's January 11th, 2021. This is Tom coming to you from Sawdust Studios in the Washington, D.C. Outpost. Nick joins me from the Houston Outpost here to revisit, against our wills, a 48-37 loss to the Cleveland Browns in the first round of the playoffs.
Burn it all down. Fire everybody. Trade up. Draft Trevor Lawrence. We want Russ Grimm as the coach of the Steelers. Burn it down. The Steelers have suffered yet another embarrassing, humiliating, really, early playoff exit at the hands of a heavy underdog, a team that didn't even have a coach. Basically, the story of the game is the Steelers go down 28-0 against the Cleveland Browns. 28-0 in the first quarter. Worst start in the history of the Steelers, who have been a team since the 1930s. Somehow, they claw back, thanks to Ben Roethlisberger, who had a big hand in, of course, putting him in that 28-0 hole. But somehow he brings them back, and then they blow it in the end. And so here we sit, Monday morning, salary cap issues looming big time for the Steelers. Not a lot of flexibility that can help them solve some of their issues. And the entire Steelers' future is murky, and I feel like we should be shocked, but honestly, you could probably bet heavy money that the Steelers are going to lose whenever they play an underdog in the playoffs, and you can take that bet online. Football is almost done. The Steelers season, done. But maybe you can take some prop bets on what kind of moves the Steelers are going to make. Is Benny coming back next year, riding off into the sunset with a little bit of a better taste in your mouth or not? BetOnline has game spreads, totals, team, player, and coaching props that really are unparalleled in the business. So head to BetOnline today and use the promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, cha-ching, your online sportsbook experts.
What's that philosophy you keep reading about?
Stoicism. It's the real quick intro. You know, it's about the world is – your life is not about what happens to you. It's about how you react to the chaos around you.
So in addition to the cold shower I take every morning to be stoic, I'm going to take us through a little stoicism by revisiting that game that happened yesterday, even though we don't want to. And it took a good 24 hours. Well, it's not quite 24 hours for us to even do this podcast. It's not really the morning, people. But starting with the pouncy snap over Ben's head, the PSTD that I know it wasn't the Steelers, but watching Peyton Manning, watching the same thing happen to Peyton Manning came flooding back to me.
Eerie. Yeah, that's how the game starts. Pouncy snaps it over Ben's head, and you knew that you were in for one. But, you know, you can just come back and even get a field goal on the next drive. As you said, once he snapped it over his head, and I told you, we're going to open the podcast with this, aren't we? I'm a little bit nervous. But you said, hey, we get the ball back. And you can go down and score a field goal or at least get a couple first downs and get some better field position. Nope. The offensive line lets every single Cleveland Browns player through the line of scrimmage. Ben Roethlisberger does not handle it well and lobs the ball into Cleveland Browns' hands. They score again, get the ball back. Ben throws it to Cleveland again. Then Cleveland gets the ball back, run all the way over the Steelers' defense, who is basically letting up 10 yards a carry in that first half, and the Steelers find themselves down 28-0. Defense shell-shocked like they just, you know, they're Normandy. Offense scared, thinking we all got to retire simultaneously. Even Claypool's got to retire. He's thinking this isn't going well. But somehow, Ben realizes he has nothing to lose. Stop me if you've heard this story before. Stop me if you heard this story 2 weeks ago against the Colts. Then just starts slinging it. Ends the game with 501 yards passing. The one silver lining is now he extends his record of the most 500-yard games in history of the NFL. He was one over Tom Brady, and now he's two over Tom Brady. He's got four total. Wheels the team back into it. But then the magic runs out a little bit. Tomlin lives in his fear. Punts the ball on 4th-and-1 multiple occasions when the Steelers pull within 12 points with 12 minutes left in the game. He blinks. You'd cut your eyelids off. Well, he grew some new eyelids. He blinked quite a few times. Maybe a little pee-pee in the pants as well. Punts it to the Browns. The defense chokes. I mean, the defense didn't do anything right, and the Steelers lose the game. So that's basically the flow. I mean, it didn't even look like they could make it back into the game. They made a run, and then it was just too little too late. And all I can think at the end of this game is, how many times have we seen this movie? How many times have we seen that the 2020 version, which has its own little quirks of, you know, non-aggressive offense and scared play calling? And how many times have we seen this movie of the, you know, Tomlin and Ben era of, we're going to get to the playoffs, and if we fail to get an emotional edge within the first quarter, we're going to get blown out of the building and disappoint everybody? And I just have to think, why are we surprised? And I guess I come to the conclusion that I'm not surprised. I'm just a little depressed, but feels like some changes need to happen going forward here.
Let's go into that cold shower of evidence of past playoff futility. I think you did a nice listing here of the last few years.
Yeah, Derek DeKid posted. That's our homie over there, a fellow Ben acolyte.
Thank you, D.
And great Steelers analysis over there. He had a nice tweet putting these playoff scores up.
You want to do the honors?
Oh, I will. I shall. Well, I can probably do it off the top of my head. Sorry, I thought you were getting that list ready yourself. But basically, what happened is, albeit, you know, with some interceptions, return for touchdowns, so on and so forth, here are the scores of the recent Steelers playoff games. 48 points given up to Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns with no head coach and three of their best players missing in a night game at Heinz Field. In the playoffs, 48 points. You remember what the last playoff game was before this? Jacksonville, the worst day of my life. You would think, oh my God, I thought that was forever ago. They haven't made it to the playoffs since. Nope. And what did they do that day? They gave up 45 points to a guy who's not even a quarterback. Blake Bortles and the Jaguars run the Steelers out of the building. And basically, a carbon copy of the game we watched last night. Ben starts out really shaky, throwing interceptions. Then he absolutely lights himself on fire, slings the ball all over the place for 500 yards, which he did against the Jaguars as well. They just didn't count some of the yardage because some of them were laterals as he was running through meadows of killer Jaguars defenders, throwing the ball to Le'Veon Bell, you know, 10 yards past the line of scrimmage. But same game, and then the defense just chokes it away in the end. And of course, it makes it hard to overcome, you know, tons of turnovers like he had in both games. The game before that, the Patriots game. In the playoffs, 36 points to Tom Brady, and it really should have been 68 if the Patriots didn't take their foot off the gas. And just in all three of those games, the Steelers are down basically 20 points in the first quarter. Not the first half, the first quarter. So this happens every time. And then, you know, obviously before that, you had the loss to one-armed Peyton when the Steelers were really injured. Before that, you give up 30 points to Joe Flacco in a flaccid Ravens offense when Le'Veon didn't play. And before that is when I think that this all started, 2012. You give up 29 points to Tim Tebow. The other worst quarterback. The two worst quarterbacks of the entire 21st century have beaten the Steelers in playoff games when the Steelers come out flat. And yes, they had a ton of injuries in that Tebow game. Everybody forgets that. There's 10-plus starters were out. But this is not a trend. This has become a tradition in Pittsburgh, collapsing at the end of the year.
We hadn't talked about this, so I'm sorry if this breaks with your game themes. But what if any effect do you think that the empty stadium had on the Steelers? Did it sort of add to the lackluster showing of the Steelers, so sort of like them showing up so flat?
It had all the effect in the world. And that's my issue, is, let's talk about Tomlin for a second. He is almost unparalleled as a leader, as a motivator, and if you want to get more specific, as an identifier and developer of talent. You know, there's a reason why they say, oh, the Steelers can draft a wide receiver in any round, and they'll be a great wide receiver. Well, they also say that about Steelers linebackers, right? And for a little while here in this era, they said it about Steelers offensive linemen. And yeah, maybe Ben actually has a lot more to do with that than you think. But Mike Tomlin finds and makes great players. And everybody knows about his leadership skills and how people love him. So he has that down. I don't think that's arguable. You can't just say Tomlin's a crappy coach. But he is bottom of the barrel when it comes to strategy. The X's and O's are miserable. Warren Sharp, great football analyst, you know, big-time analytics guy, is constantly posting very helpful, very depressing videos on Twitter of how many times the Steelers cover number one receivers like Jarvis Landry and Keenan Allen with linebackers. How many times over the past 2 weeks were Spillane and Avery Williamson matched up on Jarvis Landry in the slot? Because when the Steelers play base defense, that's just what they do. That's how and Jarvis Landry and Keenan Allen have talked about this in postgame interviews. You played the Browns last week and they did this and they did it again. So, and then of course we know about the offensive struggles. So then going back to the no fans in the stadium thing, Mike Tomlin, his teams are emotional and Ben plays emotional. Quarterbacks like Breeze and Brady, yes, they're more centered guys. They spend more time preparing their bodies and their minds, but they also have coaches who make opponent-specific game plans. You know, if they're playing the Browns with a bunch of injured secondary members, it doesn't matter if New England or the Saints ran for 200 yards against some team last week. They say, oh, the Browns don't have a good secondary. Well, screw what we did last week. Let's attack their weakness. The Steelers don't do that. They just come out and say, we're going to play big boy football. And they've even said this, you know, in interviews, basically. We are going to impose our will on them. It's not about what other teams are doing. It's about what we're doing. And that's just objectively wrong, or it's just a risky way to play. I mean, how many times in the 13-3 year, the Jacksonville Jaguars last year, the Steelers won three games when they got the ball back down by three or down by two or one or whatever it was with less than a minute left, and Ben Roethlisberger would scramble and throw a dime into triple coverage 40 yards down the field to Antonio Brown, who would make a toe-touching catch. Like, miracles to end games. But just when you rely so much on that athletic superiority and that emotional edge, and you don't get that emotional edge, you go down sinking. And now Ben is probably a little bit too old to consistently erupt that way. So yeah, I think not having the fans really hurt them. And I think that the fact that they have to rely on that is a problem going forward. And I think it's kind of run its course that way. Not as Tomlin's career, but just that strategy, you know?
As I hear you describe this, the word that comes to mind is dogmatism. And it stems not just to Randy Feedner, but it goes back to Todd Haley. Remember when the red zone was impenetrable to us? We could get there, but we kept doing the same thing. And that seems like this, what the current state of the offense is. It's the same thing. We're going to do it our way. And it's almost like ego.
Yeah. And I do worry, you know, I don't think Ben's going to retire, honestly. He said he's going to think about it with his family, but he kind of seemed pretty adamant. He said, I would love to come back if the Steelers, I have one more year in the contract, I'll honor it. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, he had 500 yards and four touchdowns. Of course he's going to take some responsibility for this game.
Right.
But he still knows what he's capable of. I don't think he shuts it down yet.
No, he's kind of been consistent the whole year.
I don't even think we want to. We're going to get into this later, but I don't even think it's desirable. But let's leave it
in. Well, go for it real quick, because I think people want to hear your opinion on that.
I think we have way too many. I think Ben is way above the line if he has the right cast surrounding him. And that's what we need to focus on first, because we've talked about this. There's no quarterback waiting in the wings unless one of these veterans shakes loose. And given the salary cap situation, I think that is not the play. I would not focus on quarterback. I'd bring back Ben, pay him. Hopefully he's not going to ask for another extension.
Right.
And at least use him for the last year.
It's probably the best idea, because what you said about the salary cap, they have no flexibility. Even if Stafford comes available and he doesn't go to any of the like 12 other teams who are going to want him, the Steelers might not even be able to. And yeah, Ben's not washed up. He's just He can't carry the team like he used to. And that's the strategy they're using. And, you know, I spent a lot of time, you know, my obsession and absolute adoration for Ben is well documented. And I love him for the reasons like we said last night. Even when we're down 28-0, I still don't turn off the game, partially because I'm ill. I'm mentally ill and I have an issue and this is a disorder. But also because I know, like, well, once again, we talk about, we've seen this movie a bunch of times. Well, he did come back against the Jaguars. And then three games later, which was, you know, the next season, they played Mahomes in Mahomes' third game, and they went up 21-0 in the first quarter. And he did come back against the Chiefs. And so, like, I knew that there was a possibility and he brought them back. So, yeah, he can still play. And when you – I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl. I think that, you know, hey, look, they're going to lose a lot. But if you don't have any moves to make anyways next year, you can still keep him for one more year, and then he retires, and then you get that money off of the books or whatever. Him getting $19 million off of the salary cap for next year, you know, that tweet's going around a lot. He makes $41 million next year, but really it's only $19 million of cap relief if you don't have him next year. It's not going to put you – that's Stafford's not playing for $19 million, right? Deshaun Watson, you're not getting him. So, of course, he thinks he can still play because he can. But, yeah, he's in that phase that you mentioned where you need a really strong supporting cast, whereas before he could, you know, make up for some of those deficiencies.
Yeah, the big question is, can you put enough of that supporting cast together? I'm not worried about the wide receivers. They'll have another year of seasoning, but it's that offensive line.
And that's not going to come together in 4 or 5 months. So, listen, we had a positivity podcast on Christmas. There are things to look forward. You know, this roster, there's a ton of young talent. And we'll talk at the end of this podcast about what we think they could do or what they will do going forward. But I think, you know, just wrapping up that first theme we're talking about, this is more of the same. This is the same movie. They keep trying to rely on a lack of strategy and just being big boys. And the NFL has changed. You know, it's all this strategy. It's using analytics more, not being dogmatic about those either. But you have to make game plan specific or opponent specific game plans. And the Steelers don't have the killer bees anymore. And Ben's not 35, so you can't just roll them out there and think like he might just dominate his way there. He'll just throw it to AB enough times, and Pouncey and Villanueva will hold guys off and they'll give him time. The time ran out on that strategy. So you want to see them move forward. I'll say the last theme of when you look at this game and you look at this year, it is this year they played scared. The team is scared. So once again, it's a lame offensive game plan. They came out, and I tweeted about this a number of times in the days leading up to the game. I just had a feeling, despite Mason Rudolph's success throwing the ball far down the field, they're not going to change. They're going to come out and they're going to run the ball a little bit. They're going to get cute. They're going to run slants and they're going to run drags. Because if they didn't change after the Washington loss or the Bills loss, and especially after the Bengals loss, then they're not going to change now. And I think that falls on three guys. It really is a three-headed monster of Ben, Tomlin, and Randy. And whether Ben's not confident, you know, as Mason is throwing the ball deep, if Ben's gun-shy, which it sort of looks like he is in the beginning of these games when the pressure gets to him, and yeah, the blocking sucks, but he kind of freaks out and throws it to the other team. And then when he forgets that he can get hurt, and he's like, well, I don't want to get embarrassed on national TV, he throws for 500 yards in the playoffs, only the second quarterback ever to do it. But they come out lame, and it just makes no sense because the proof of concept is there. Yes, I know that Cleveland was playing some prevent, but 500 yards is domination. 37 to 10 or whatever it was in the second half is domination, and they didn't come out doing that.
I don't know if scared's the way I mean, it's a good way to describe it in some ways during a play, but the offensive game plan, rather than scared, I might characterize it as playing not to lose. Because if you notice, last week when we played the Browns, there was nothing to lose. Mason was in there. He not only had nothing to lose, but everything to gain by just letting it loose. And he had a great game, right? Yeah. So nobody was holding him back. And then Ben emerges in these games when there's really nothing to lose by flinging the ball.
Yeah, and I do think now by the end of the year, especially since we saw another quarterback going and playing, the offense did look a little different despite all the terrible situational play calls, which shows the through line. Like, okay, it's not just Ben. Feetner clearly has his imprint on this Mason Rudolph game, you know, calling pitches 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage and on second and seven, doing things that they shouldn't be doing. But – you just wonder that if Tomlin had a better coordinator in place, or if he himself.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Had a little bit better understanding of offensive strategy. Somebody could tell Ben, like, or design plays for him to get more open shot plays, you know, early in the game, where Ben doesn't have to be the guy who's making the decisions to do this. The other scared thing that I would say is Tomlin. He says, don't blink. Well, cut your eyelids off if you blink. Well, somebody glued them back on, and they glued them to the bottom of his, starting at the top, and they glued them to the bottom because he played with his eyes closed. Let's talk about the punts, right? So first off, there's the field goal that he took to when they were down, what, 30-something to 7, which sort of just seemed at that time, well, maybe it was the right choice because the Steelers had a chance to win the game. But at the time, it sort of seemed like, are you trying to help the box score right now? Because they were on pace to lose by 70. I mean, it was insane. So you could think, is he trying to save the box score? But the real dagger of the game is the Steelers somehow worked their way all the way back from this. They're down by 12 with 12 minutes left in the game. Everything that happened is now irrelevant. 12 points in the fourth quarter for Ben Roth, like it's just officially a game now. And they get fourth and one from their own 47-yard line. And they punt it. And at the time, I did understand punting it because the defense had just forced a three and out, or maybe two three and outs in a row. And you're thinking, well, if our punter can pin them inside the 10, which he didn't, Barry, of course, kicked it in the end zone. If you can punt them within the 10, the strength of this team is supposed to be the defense, right? TJ Watt, the defensive player of the year, is on defense. The most underrated Steeler and defensive lineman in this era, Cam Hayward's on the defense. Minka Fitzpatrick's out there. They should be able to stop them. So I understand that. But what did they do? The Browns sliced them up for 10 yards a play, went down and scored in a couple plays. T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward, did they even play in the game? I mean, that was the worst game of T.J. Watt's career by far. Like, did you just cost yourself Defensive Player of the Year? I don't know. I mean, I hate to say it, but they had zero quarterback hits, Dad. I mean, that is astounding. They had more quarterback hits last week when those guys were out. So you look at the way that Ben and Pouncey started the game, and you look at how poorly Hayward and Watt played. Maybe next time we have the options to sit the starters, you and I change our tune, because those guys played like crap, all the guys who sat. So let me just get back to the scared decision to punt on that down. I understand that you want to put your defense out there, but let's just understand the situation of this game. Ben is kind of on fire at that point and unstoppable. I would almost rather take the chance, because if you punt it and the defense stops and they have to get a three and out, which is hard anyways, because they really hadn't done that very much at that point in the game anyway. So look at what's happening in this game. Meanwhile, Ben and the offense are driving at will every time they move the ball. If you can get the first down there, I think that that reward is much greater, because then the comeback has taken an identity behind this offense that is unstoppable. And it really reminded me of the Tom Brady comeback versus the Falcons in the Super Bowl, because when the Pats got it back down two scores, that's when you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is interesting. And then when it became apparent that they were going to score, that's when I felt like the game was over. They were still down by seven, but at that point, the momentum was so tremendous that Brady just put the nail in the coffin, and that's what happened. So I think that that's what you should have recognized in that moment. Don't go to your stupid I formation crap that's only worked one time this whole season when Derek Watt rushed it the first time in that game. Don't go to that. Go shotgun. Just and throw 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 yards downfield, whatever. But that was an opportunity that Tomlin had to be bold, and it bit him in the ass that he didn't do it. So it just seems like such an obvious opportunity for a coach who constantly preaches to not live in your fears, for him to make that decision on top of another punt when he's at the Cleveland 45-yard line and on top of a field goal. I mean, it's not just one or two decisions. It's many, and the Steelers, despite four turnovers and a 28-0 hole, still should have won that game.
A lot of people wanted to cut Tomlin down to size on Twitter last night.
Well, they wanted to cut him down to size, and maybe he deserved it. And you deserve it, too. And I'm not talking about your body. I'm talking about your body hair. Manscaped has got you covered. Listen, people, Christmas is over. Valentine's Day is coming up. If you got a man in your life, if you got a woman in your life, doesn't matter. Manscaped's got you covered. They got the Lawnmower 3.0. It's the greatest trimmer ever known to man. It makes it almost impossible to damage the goods while you're down there doing what needs to be done. They also got balms, anti-chafing creams. They got boxers. Leave your junk feeling fresh all day. That's what they say. Get 20% off free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you.
I have to say we're at the end of the season here, and we have a couple more bets to place, but yesterday I nearly drained the entire bank account. So we have about $14.13 for the Super Bowl.
We got to put it on the Chiefs, don't we? We'll do that at Bet Online. Only a couple games left to bet, people, on football. Now listen, they'll let you get in the action on the offseason. Maybe we can bet on coach hirings and firings. Doug Peterson's already out in Philadelphia, so the dominoes are falling. Me revealing that news to you lets you realize that it, in fact, is not the morning. It's taken a while to get over this thing. But either way, head to Bet Online today. Take advantage of that promo code armchair. Bet Online. Cha-ching, your online sportsbook experts.
So let's take a look going forward. I mean, we're going to do a lot more of this in the offseason because, frankly, we have
some time.
30 weeks. Yeah, we have time to do it. But I think there are some questions just hanging in the air. You've been talking about Tomlin.
So I feel like this game was a perfect microcosm of the past 10 years, which were by far the most disappointing and some of the most fun, honestly, of you know, Steelers fandom. And I'm thinking about fans, and I'm thinking nobody has gone through as much pain. Let me phrase it this way. You think that the Browns have gone through pain. That's the narrative. The Browns, the Raiders, the Jets. The Jets are good every once in a while. People got to chill with that. The Lions. That's not pain. That's a bruise. You need to know what a scythe wound is, what that feels like. And only the Steelers, the Saints, and the Packers fans, and soon to be the Saints or the Seahawks fans, only we know this pain. Because when you're bad, the expectations are low, right? You get annoyed. It's a constant latent pain. But when you're good and you know there's a chance to win, the pain is tremendous. And it's not as bad when you lose to the Patriots in the championship with all the killer bees in their prime, knowing that they're all coming back the next year. But it's really bad when you lose to the Jaguars and you realize there might not be any chances left. And it's even worse when you find out that you're going to miss the playoffs for 2 years in a row and come back for one more ride and get embarrassed. This is real pain. But now we have a theme that's developed. You know, these big-time choke jobs that we mentioned in the playoffs at the end of the year with the current Tomlin-Ben administration. And to me, I do want to focus around Tomlin. Because you get all of these results because of Tomlin's almost random decision-making. Sometimes he goes for two, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he lives in his fear, sometimes he doesn't. It's all gut. And there's a lot of good to that because that endears him to his players. That lets you get a guy like Bud Dupree, who we all would have cut, you know, 2 years into his career if Tomlin didn't stick with him. But if you have strategy to lean back on, if you have better coordinators, you don't have to live and die by emotion. Like you were saying earlier, players should not be publicly looking past opponents like Stephon Tuitt did earlier this season, like Juju did by giving the Browns bulletin board material before this game. And side note on Juju, Juju's the man. There's two players who showed up last night. Real Ben, after bad Ben left the building, and Juju, who caught 13 passes for 157 yards with people hanging all over him and a touchdown. He can grow past those. You know, it's a dumb mistake given the Browns bulletin board material. They all mentioned it, right? You and I have mentioned it. Motivation shouldn't be real for professional athletes. It clearly as hell is. But players shouldn't be doing this. You don't have to live and die by emotion if you have some coordinators who will attack teams with a specific game plan, which, of course, it's not like the Steelers go in there willy-nilly, but compared to other teams, it's miserable, right? So going forward, what I would like to see from the team to improve is they need to commit to younger, more innovative coordinators, and they need to modernize their game. Do I think that will happen? Let me tell you, Keith Butler's not going anywhere. If he didn't go anywhere after that loss to the Patriots in the championship game, then he's not going anywhere. Because, by the way, what was his encore for that? It was the Jaguars' loss, which was solely on the defense, because the Steelers would have run them out of the building even with those turnovers early. He's not going anywhere. Because I'm really becoming more convinced that Butler is really just whatever the offensive coordinator is in New Orleans. You know, like Sean Payton calls the plays. This is a Mike Tomlin defense, and this is a guy who we can work with well, and he's just having him do things. So he's not going anywhere. Randy Feitner might not be going anywhere either, because Ben's not going to want to commit to a new coordinator, and this is where I think the Rooneys and Tomlin should make a bigger stance. Like, Ben, you're the man. We are trying to help you. Like, they need to get rid of him. But they might not this year. But I think Tomlin is elite for the reasons I mentioned at the top of the podcast. Player development, leadership. He still can relate to these players even in the new social media age. And I think he's got a lot left in the tank. But this current strategy of just trying to say we're the big badass Pittsburgh Steelers, it keeps ending the same ways. We're the Cowboys light. You know, the Cowboys often lose in the first round. Well, that's what we're doing now. We can get to the dance, but we can't finish, right? I'm on the team, I promise. So they need to commit to modernizing a little bit more. And they have done some of those things with, you know, the trades they've made for Hayden and Minka and Bush. And so I do have some hope as far as that goes. I don't know if it's going to happen for this coming season. Another big thing they can do to improve is they got to be brave and cut these veterans. You know, maybe it's a 2-year process, but there's a big list of people, you know, who could be off the team within the next 2 years. Of course, you know, Benny, the GOAT, the God. You would think that this podcast I would have spent here just waxing poetic about my love for him, but I feel like I've done that a couple times already, and I don't think that he's going to retire, so there will be more time for that. He was absolutely heroic in his comeback. Unbelievable. But he helped dig them in the hole, and that's kind of the old man version, the late 30s version of Ben now. He's going to be inconsistent, right? Clearly, he can still play, like you said. But, you know, Ben, what the hell is happening with DeCastro. Villanueva, he's 33 years old. I don't think people realize that. He's older than you'd think. Pouncey, that whole offensive line is going to get gutted. They do have some young talent in there, but maybe they need an offensive line coach. Hayden's the easiest one to cut this offseason. Love Hayden. But come on, he's got to go. Cam, you know, he's still great, but maybe after next year you cut bait because he's going to decline. He's 32. He's going to decline sooner rather than later. Obviously, they're probably going to have to let Juju walk. Connor goes. Cut Ebron. Cut Vance. Legitimately, if you prioritize keeping these young, talented players, you make room for the money for TJ. You make room for money for, you know, Deontay. Hopefully that he pans out that way. You could keep Sutton and Hilton, or one of the two. Your defense is loaded. You're just going to have to, you know, reload on the defensive line when that time comes in a couple years. But there are moves they can make by being brave and not overly sticking with veterans. I just don't know if it's how much of that's going to happen this summer. So I don't know how much is honestly going to change with 2021. It seems like the Steelers are more like they're kind of a stay the course kind of guy. So I could really see them just trying to run this back with a couple key cuts, maybe the Hayden one or a couple other guys. But there are things that the Steelers can do. And yes, it is scary. We know how long it was in between Terry and Ben, but quarterbacks come along much more often now.
Yeah, I can't go. So one of the things you said, I agree with your sentiment about Mike Tomlin. I'm not sure how much the emotion serves. You said that sort of a double-edged sword, right? But Bill Belichick is the antithesis, right? It's all business, and it's pretty unemotional. And there's something to consistency. And I don't mean a predictable offense. I just mean consistency in decision-making. Once again, there should never have been any questions about punting. I mean, maybe there wasn't so much problem with the clock management. But consistency and business-like thinking is what I think the Steelers need. And to your point, craft your strategy to your opponent. And can I use the word consistency again?
Use it. I don't think that you can take some of what the Patriots do and model it, but obviously you can't recreate it because you just have you have Einstein as the coach over there. But there are the things that I would take for them is like, listen, there are no other teams that are like Belichick where they're robots. But there are other teams like the Rams or the 49ers or the Saints are an incredibly emotional team. But it's really about strategy. It's about knowing what you're going to do on fourth and one. It's about identifying other teams' weaknesses and analyzing that. And imagine what you could do if you coupled that with the emotion that Tomlin gives. And really, you get the New Orleans Saints at that point. And I know that they haven't won the Super Bowl, but guess what, people? It's almost impossible to win the Super Bowl. So much luck has to come behind it. But
yeah, I don't think he can. I'm not suggesting he can emulate Belichick. What I'm suggesting is you cut bait with the dogma and you become more flexible with what you're seeing. I mean, rarely do we see a halftime adjustment unless, as you said, sort of the emotional floodgates open and Ben goes for broke.
Yeah, it's a strategy thing, and I think it's just having the right people in the building. I would love to keep Tomlin as the leader and then get some more people to help with the strategy. I don't know how much that's going to happen. I don't know how much Ben's going to be down to make a major change. Like, it takes – look at the Packers. The LaFleur thing in the first year, they went 13-3, but everyone knew they sucked. It's kind of like – well, anyways, everyone knew they weren't that good, and they got exposed in the NFC Championship game. And people were saying, "Oh, Rodgers, he might be declining soon." They drafted a freaking quarterback, and then Rodgers explodes in his second year in the system. They don't add a single new player, by the way, but they have 2 years in the LaFleur system, and he explodes. So I don't know if Ben's going to want to make a change like that because he usually does take another year, and he might look at this game and say, "I threw for 500." Like, Claypool's going to be much better. Hopefully Deontay is better. We have another shot. So I don't know what's going to happen. But in my mind, there is a lot about this Steelers team that still works. I think generally what Tomlin's doing works. You know, Ben, it's a ticking clock on the greatest athlete that we've ever seen in the history of mankind and ever will see. There's amazing young talent. TJ, Minka, Hilton, Sutton, hopefully Bush. You got Spillane to come up behind Vince. You got Highsmith coming up. Deontay, Claypool, Dotson, you know, Chooks. I don't know how good he's going to be or not, but he started, and like, this is someone you can rely on. Banner could come back next year. There's a crap load of young talent. The cupboard is not completely bare. So it's just, but I just think that this story has run its course. I'm just going to go over it one more time. 48 points to Baker Mayfield Browns with no head coach. 45 points to Blake Bortles, not in the NFL anymore. 36 points to Brady. They basically lose in the first quarter of the AFC Championship game to Tom Brady and them. Grant Delavion was hurt. Tebow. Like, it just keeps happening over and over again, and the sample size is gargantuan. So there need to be some philosophical changes. I don't think it's necessarily gutting and cleaning house, although, you know, maybe, you know. I mean, that's obviously not going to happen this coming year, but it was just disappointing. I was pretty catatonic after that first quarter. I'm really happy that Ben and Juju and the guys, you know, Deontay stepped it up eventually, and they made some plays down the stretch to keep it a little bit, to keep some dignity. I do think that that's important heading into the next year. But, damn, I'm really tired of watching this movie, and it just feels like they wasted a lot of Ben's prime with this fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants strategy, even if he was a part of it.
All right, let's close the curtain on this crazy, topsy-turvy, at most of the time exciting season. Hit us up on Twitter. We're not done yet, at Steelers Outpost. Shoot us an email at SteelersOutpost@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Until next week, go Steelers.
Go Steelers. Okay, bye-bye.